Well, good morning. How important is water to you? Very, right? Very important. In fact, you might have some water. You might bathe in water. You might use water to cook with. You might pour water on grass in the hopes it will grow. And as we know, life is absolutely dependent on fresh water. I remember not long after 9/11, I was serving at St. Michael and All Angels up at Knoll Boulevard up at 67th, and we had a gentleman come in named John, and he said, "I've got to be baptized. I've got to be baptized." It was his spiritual response to the landscape around us that we thought was certain changing. Maybe you don't think about it, but if you watch any movies or television shows or different things or images of New York pre-9/11, you see the big towers, right? It's an image that's sort of ingrained in your mind, whether you wanted it to or not. And you might even, when you see a skyline of New York, not recognize it anymore. When those events happened, it was one of those major generational events in which we were shaken. Our images, our thoughts, our spirituality was changed. And there was John sitting in that particular service saying, "I want to be baptized." Now, maybe what you don't do is tell him to go to a class and make sure he's okay and different things like that. But Rob, Lord, and I were talking to each other and said, "Well, we've got water, so let's figure this out." So we took John and we talked to him for a little bit, and we went and got some water and we poured it in the font and we baptized him. It's a little different in the Episcopal tradition, but it seemed important. And over the weeks, John would continue to be part of that church, and he would continue to grow in his faith and would find different things. I don't know what you hear when you hear the story of the eunuch, but I remembered that story, and I think that's where we got the idea. A eunuch in the time of Jesus was an important figure in society. In this particular eunuch, the people who write about it say that he would have been right in the royalty of Ethiopia, and so he would have probably been where he was on official business. And the eunuchs at the time were often young boys when they were taken and they were set aside and their bodies were changed. And then they became servants and were often honored and lifted up within the community. And I don't know if you caught what the quote from Isaiah was, but it's about Jesus and it's about the one who's despised and the one who's cast down and the one who's made lowly. And this is what resonates with the eunuch. Because the other side of this important position in society is that the eunuch loses identity, loses family, loses who they are. And so when he hears the story, there is a chance to be made part of something. And so he says to Philip, "Well, can you baptize me? I want to be part of this story." And the baptism happened. A number of years ago, I was on a mission trip with fellow seminarians. Kelly and I got a grant through the National Church to take some people to Juarez, Mexico, to work with a friend of ours, Father Zuniga. And we were in Anapro. Anapro is a community that's sort of on the side of El Paso. You've probably heard of it. It's where a lot of the violence has been happening over the last several years. And he has a church there, and he was starting. And the church that he started was very small, had no building. They had some land. And he would go out there on occasion and have a service, and people would find out, and they would show up. And this particular time we were with him, it was going to be baptism day. And so Father Zuniga showed up, and we brought some water, big old 5-gallon jug of drinking water, and we poured it out, and it was baptism day. And people sort of showed up, and it was time for baptisms, and there were 11 people who decided to get baptized. And so there was some teaching, some fellowship, and then we baptized these 11 people, and then we went on to our business. Listen for the water for just a second. That water that flows. That water that sustains. That water that quenches thirst. And yet there's another water of the Holy Spirit, the one in which we are baptized in Christ, that moves even deeper. And I think when we hear that water, when we see that water, when we touch that water, when we are washed in that water, when we find the water of baptism, our lives are changed forever. They're transformed in a very deep and meaningful way. I don't know a whole lot of what happened to John over the years. We lost touch. I don't know a whole lot about the folks who were baptized in Mexico. But I remember another story. A friend of mine in seminary, a guy named Joel, who's now a Lutheran pastor up in Iowa. Joel was one of these really bright people, and he and I discovered each other in classes and became fast friends. And one of the things I always admired about Joel is his ability to pull in another person, his ability to invite and to find, to seek out the lost. And there was a guy named Frank that was someone that had been sort of lost. He would often show up at the seminary library, very often by himself. He had a job by himself. He didn't seem to have any family and not too many friends. And Joel, over time, befriended him and became sort of his mentor, his friend, his buddy. And they would often be together in a relationship form that was deep. And what Frank was wanting was a deeper community, any community. And just to give you an idea of what that was like, as we were getting ready to move, we had a big couch that we didn't want anymore. It was kind of very 70s. Somebody had given it to us, and we didn't want it, so we kind of put out word that we were going to give it away. And Joel said, "Why don't you give it to Frank?" I said, "That's a great idea." And so we called Frank and said, "Do you want the couch?" He said, "Sure." So we loaded it up, took it over, Joel and I unloaded it from the truck, took it into his house, we put it in, and you wouldn't believe what Frank did. He said, "This is the best day. I have never had a couch." And he sat down on that 70s ugly, yellowish, brownish, looked like a cat threw up on it, not really. And he sat on it like it was the best thing he'd ever had. He sat down and he says, "I can't wait to have this couch. I'm going to take naps on it. I'm going to watch TV on it." And this is what Frank's life was like. But even more important was he was finding community. He had found friends. He had found his way into a church community. He had found his way and had connected himself to a vine. In the scriptures today, we hear Jesus say, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And that is that we are connected through our baptism to Jesus. And another part of that is that we are to bear fruit in our lives, to be disciples. I think that call is one that runs deep. But to be a really good disciple, we have to know where the water comes from. We have to know how to get to the water. We have to know how to share the water of baptism with others. To be sustained and to be deepened by our spirituality, to have that sense of God's presence in our life that flows through us. So listen for that water. That water that sustains and that lifts up. I think everybody comes to God in different ways. And we might be called in a moment of crisis. We might be called in a gentle sort of way. We might have a great epiphany. And it might take a lot of loving for us to find our way. But that call is there. So as you go about your week this week, as you go looking and being part of the communities that you're in, ask yourself how you might be connected to the vine. How you might share that with others. There's a John, there's a Frank, there's a Susie, there's a Teresa, there's somebody out there who is thirsty. Not for water, but for water of life. They want to hear that call. So can you hear the water? Can you touch it? Can you taste it? Can you see it? And can you offer it to others? Amen.